Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also ask that you take a look at our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources, including these radio programs, TV videos, and a host of other Bible-related material, along with some information about us that may be helpful to the things that are happening here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We just want to show you need for God in your life, to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly and be able to prepare ourselves for heaven. We are looking at the subject of the bread of life. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus' first rejection in Nazareth. We'd ask if you have your Bible, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 through verse number 30. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all eyes who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and then there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went on his way. Now, this first rejection in Nazareth is very significant. It is very difficult to place the events of the early Galilean ministry chronologically. Generally speaking, they're not recorded that way, nor is much emphasis given to the importance of the order in Scripture. This study simply presents them in what appears to be a logical progression. The order presented is by no means definitive. Before beginning to examine the first rejection of the Lord in Nazareth, it should be noted that Matthew and Mark record a visit to the city that appears to have taken place at a later time. Some hold that all three accounts are referring to the same visit. There are many similarities in the accounts, but also they are very different. The differences seem to indicate that Matthew and Mark refer to a different vision than the one that we just read in Luke chapter 4. During the days of the Lord, Nazareth was an obscure village of less than a desirable reputation. As was the custom of Jesus, he went into the synagogue of wherever he was on the Sabbath day. Standing to read, he read from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 61, verse 1 and 2. The text he chose demonstrates that The gospel is not only for the rich, the well-educated, or those of earthly importance. It is for all. So in this small village of Nazareth, in the synagogue that Jesus had attended in his youth, he revealed himself. He chose a passage that presented the Messiah as a messenger to the sick and sick and afflicted, a teacher of the neglected, a savior and comforter of the oppressed. With the eyes of the people in the synagogue fastened upon him, Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It is obvious that at the first, the people did not understand the full import of what Jesus had said. But slowly, a smoldering doubt that even scorn begins to be voiced. Jesus heard their words and knew their hearts. To this growing current of anger and unrest, he said, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we hear was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." Jesus continued on and addressed their unbelief in the most forceful way. No prophet is without honor in his own town. The Lord then gave two examples. Elisha was sent to God to a Gentile home for shelter, sent to the widow of Shaphan because she had faith to share even the last morsel of meal and oil with God's prophet. Elisha, with many Jewish lepers living and dying, healed Naaman the Syrian when Naaman demonstrated faith by ultimately obeying the words that the prophet had sent through his messenger. The implication was that of the Messiah being rejected by his own people, but received and honored by the Gentiles. The blessing of God would be poured out upon the Gentiles as the Jews rejected and scorned the chosen one. This was clearly the implication of Jesus' statement, as seen by the reaction of those in the synagogue. The normally quiet synagogue became a place of turmoil as they reached a mob-like fashion. They physically removed the Lord from the synagogue, herded him through the narrow streets of the little village, intent upon casting him from the brow of the hill upon which Nazareth is built. But they did not succeed. As the passage says, passing through their midst, he went out from them. Now I want you to notice that in our account today, that what we see is that this rejection is based upon their physical relationship with Jesus. Again, as we mentioned last week, they can't be good beyond that he's the son of Joseph and Mary. They just see the physicality and the physical attributes of Jesus and do not focus on the other part, and that is his deity. And his deity he has expressed in miracles that he did, in prophecies that he's showing that he fulfilled, as he did here in the synagogue in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He told them that that prophecy was fulfilled in their hearing today. He demonstrated that he was a Messiah by the fulfilling of prophecy. They had heard about the things that he had done in Canaan and in other places. And they wanted something done there. But then Jesus mentioned that a prophet is without honor in his own country. Sometimes it is difficult to go home and do the work that you are called to do because of the relationship that you have with others. Let me give you an example. I've had opportunities over the years to go back to the place in the area where I grew up and to preach back there. But I have declined to do that because those people see me in a certain way. They see me as someone they knew growing up. They see me as a friend that they had, or as my relative, even my family that lived there. They know me through our physical relationship. And yet they would have a difficult time in accepting the truth spiritually that I taught because they said, "Well, that's just Keith. That's just Keith. That's our cousin. That's our brother. That's our friend. And that's just Keith. He's nobody special." And again, I am nobody special, but that would give cause them to not look at me in the same way that they might look at an outsider that they didn't know, and they might examine what he said a little more because they didn't have the mindset, because they knew me previously, that they didn't know that I'm not the person that I was when I lived there among them. Again, that's just a natural human tendency. But again, Jesus understands that, and he knew, and if we read other passages, he stated that he could do no great works there because they could not get beyond the fact that all they could see was the humanity of Jesus. They could not see his deity. They could not see and give him credit for the miracles that he did and for the teaching that he was doing. And as he does here in the synagogue, where he shows them that he's the fulfillment of that prophecy. He had given the lame, he had healed the lame, he had given sight to the blind. He was helping those who were less fortunate. He had fed 5,000, he had fed 4,000. He had done all these things, and yet they did not accept him because all they saw was a carpenter's son. They never got beyond that. Unfortunately, that's to their shame and their loss. It's because their mind was closed. They could not comprehend that he was not just humanity, but he was also deity. Now, I understand why that's difficult to get our minds around. It's difficult for us to get around that he was both deity and humanity at the same time. John tells us in John 1:14 that he was one of a kind. He was one of a class. There was never one like him before, and there'll never be one like him afterwards. Yet that should by no means diminish or undergird what he says and what he does, and to attribute it when he is fulfilling the prophecy exactly as the prophets had written. How could that be a coincidence? How could that be? That could only answer that if men had an open heart, was that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the Messiah. And as difficult as it was to get their mind around humanity and deity being in the same person, understand that you're talking about God. Understand that we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the one that left heaven and came to earth. We're talking about God's Son. You're not just talking about an ordinary man. And yet, men could never get beyond the physical. They had a difficulty grasping the spiritual. This has happened in numerous occasions already through our study with Nicodemus, with the woman at the well, with the Jews in John chapter 6, talking about eating the flesh and drinking the blood. They could never make the spiritual application. They could never change from physical to the spiritual. They could never do it. Why? Because they didn't accept Jesus. They didn't accept his person. They didn't accept the fact that he was Messiah of Old Testament prophecy. They didn't accept that he had come down from heaven. They did not accept that he was God's Son. And they did not accept the power that he demonstrated and what they witnessed personally. They were closed-minded. They could not get beyond their prejudice. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we deal with this today. Men are taught something or they believe something their whole life, and then when you open the Bible and you try to show them that what they believe is not in God's Word, they reject it. Why? Because they can't see it. They can't see it because they're blinded for their loyalty or for their belief in their previous understanding, and will not examine it, will not put it to the test, and will not see that it does not compare with the divine standard. It's a choice they have to make. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our responsibility, to give men the choice. We can't make them believe it. We can't force them to believe it. But we can show it to them. We can live it before them. We can give them the opportunity to know God and to know his Son. The rest is up to them. We are not charged with what they'll do with the opportunity, but we will be about the opportunity. Thank you.